Brothers and sisters, let us now open the Bible and read from God's Word from Hebrews 4, verse 1 to 13. And there we read about the promise of rest, the Sabbath rest. And I proclaim to you the Word of God this afternoon, as it is summarized by the Church in Lord's Day 38 about the Sabbath, the fourth commandment. So it is in connection with that we read from Hebrews 4, verse 1 to 13. And if we read the word of God, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So far, the scripture reading. And let's now read Lord's Day 38 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 38, that's page 554 of the Book of Praise. There we read what the Church confesses as summary of God's Word. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the beginning, when God created mankind, Adam and Eve, God said to them, fill the earth and subdue it. They had a command to be fruitful and multiply. They had a command also to fill the earth, to rule over the earth, to rule over all creatures. That was Genesis 1. But then on the seventh day, God determined that the whole day, the Sabbath day, should be a day of rest. And in the Ten Commandments, in the fourth commandment, there we see that God commands his people to work on 6 days to fulfill their mandate, but on the seventh day they shall not work. And with that, God teaches them that the cultural mandate, the mandate to fill the earth and subdue it, is not the only thing that is important, but it is also important that his people live with him. So while working in his creation, they should be focused on him. And that is why God gives the rest this one day of the week, the last day, the Sabbath day. so that God's people would come back to God and praise and glorify him. And that was the ultimate goal, that God would live with his people in eternal blessedness, as Lord Say 3 teaches us. And now certainly after fallen sin, that becomes even more important because work during the week is not a joy anymore as it was intended, but it becomes painful toil. And death came into this creation. And now we see that during the week we can be confronted with many things that are not pleasant. We can even be confronted with death that comes into our life. So while we are working during the week to fulfill our cultural mandate, we are being afflicted, we are being attacked by Satan. We also see the power of death in his creation, and we need it to be encouraged every Sunday again, even more so than before the fallen sin. God calls us together as his people. So that here on Sundays in the church services, under the preaching of his word, we may experience his love. That we may experience that he is the God who remains faithful, whatever happens in this world. We need it to meet God every week again. Not only because God wants to see his people, but also, and especially after fallen sin, because we need it because of the power of sin in this world. And that is the gospel that comes to us in the fourth commandment. God has given us the fourth commandment because it is good for us. He knows it is good for us. It is a blessing for us to come together, to have one day in a week to focus on the Lord and on his gospel. The Lord who is the God of mercy, the God of love. And that is what I proclaim to you this afternoon, summarized under this theme. The Lord gives us a day of rest to experience the love of our covenant God. In the first place, by remembering God's great deeds for his people. And in the second place, by looking forward to the eternal rest. The Lord gives us the day of rest to experience the love of our covenant God by remembering God's great deeds for his people. In the fourth commandment, the Lord explicitly commands us to rest one day of the week, the Sabbath day, the last day in the Old Testament. The purpose of taking rest is that we remember the Sabbath day. It's a kind of a remembrance day every week again. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And that makes us realize every week again, this is what is important in our lives. This must be our focus. We don't live to work. We don't work to get rich or to build a career on this earth. Whatever you do in your life, you do it for the Lord. And by keeping the Sabbath day, you show that you're not a slave of your work. That you can miss your work for one day in a week. That you can say, well, I don't care about my work today because now I have this day from the Lord to rest, to enjoy. You belong to God. And God is the only one in your life who is important. In Exodus 20, the Lord gives the law two times, in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. In Exodus 20, we read as the reason for the Sabbath day that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. And that is why God commanded his people to keep the seventh day as a day of rest, because he rested. He made time, now we also make time, so that we have a day with him. In the New Testament, we don't have the Sabbath anymore. We don't come together on a Saturday. Yeah, the Seventh-day Adventists still do because they believe that it is still about the Sabbath day, but not so the Reformed churches. Now we take a day off on the first day of the week, on Sunday. And that is because our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week. I will say more about it later. And that's a very important change between Old Testament and New Testament. However, this change does not mean that with this change, the fourth commandment has disappeared. The first day of the week, the day of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, on that day he appeared to his disciples in John 20. And he appeared also when Thomas wasn't there. He appeared 1 week later, 8 days later, not one day later, but a whole week later, again on Sunday. And then the disciples were together again. And there he appeared to Thomas. And then Pentecost, Acts 2, was on the first day of the week. The disciples were gathered together. and the Holy Spirit was poured out. In Hebrews 4, we read that Israel did not enter the rest which God had promised them, despite the fact that God appointed the seventh day as a day of rest to remind them of this promised rest. And he spoke to them about the eternal Sabbath rest. But they did not enter. They did not enter into their rest, because when they entered into Canaan, they did not put their trust in the Lord. And then verse 7, there we read that God appoints another day. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So there he appoints another day as Sabbath rest. And another day about which God spoke, another day than the Sabbath day in the Old Testament. And that is in the New Testament, that is the day of our Lord. And that is what we see in Acts 20, verse 7. There Paul speaks about his travels, or Luke writes about Paul's travels. And it says there, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread. So there again, an indication that they were gathered together on the first day of the week. And in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, on the first day of every week, each is to put something aside and store it up for a collection for Jerusalem. So give offerings to the poor on the first day of the week. And in Revelation 1, verse 10, there John says that on the Lord's day I was in the Spirit and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. On the first day of the week, the Lord's day. The Lord's day was dedicated to the Lord, the special day for the Lord, because on that day he rose from the dead. So in the New Testament, it becomes more and more clear that the Lord's day has replaced the Sabbath day as a special day. And then we also see, in addition to that, that in Colossians 2, verse 16 and 17, about the Sabbath day, Paul says the Sabbath day is only a shadow of the things to come. Like so many, the whole many things, the whole sacrifices, the whole ceremonies in the temple, they were a shadow of the things to come. And then Paul says, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. And Paul also says, Romans 14, verse 5, one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. And here Paul is speaking about the Sabbath day, about the Saturday. Because in the first century, the Christians were struggling. They were convinced that they should keep the Lord's day, the first day of the week, but should they still keep the Sabbath day? Some said they should, others said they shouldn't. And Paul says, well, you're not a slave of the Sabbath day. If you believe it is good to keep the Saturday, keep the Saturday. But if you believe it's not good, don't do it. The Sunday is important, but any other day is not important. The Old Testament Sabbath day had disappeared. The first day of the week has become the special day on which the church shall remember. And we know from literature from the first century that it was indeed on the first day of the week, in the morning and in the evening, two times a Sunday, that the church came together to remember the great deeds of the Lord. In Exodus 20, as I mentioned before, God's work of creation is mentioned as the reason for keeping the Sabbath day. God created in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. The 7 days week is a divine institution, and also the day of rest every week again is a divine institution. If you look at Deuteronomy 5, the second time that the law is being mentioned, there it is said in the fourth commandment that they shall remember the Exodus out of Egypt, the salvation of God's people, because that was a new creation, just as the work of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ later also is seen as a new creation. And there we see the creation of heaven and earth, the first reason to keep the Sabbath day. The second reason is the creation of God's people, Israel, when they were called out of Egypt, Deuteronomy 5. And then the third reason, the new reason in the New Testament, is Jesus Christ rose on the first day of the week, and it supersedes the Sabbath day in the Old Testament, and now the first day of the week is the day of the new creation, the day of rest. And then in the Old Testament, also the servants, even the animals, they all should have a day of rest. Everyone, even the sojourner within their gates. And that also shows that there is a social aspect on the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus emphasized that when he was on earth. It's not only to be with the Lord on the Sabbath day, but also to be with God's people. The Jews separated the commandment from the real meaning and the real reason of this commandment. They made many rules for a Sabbath day, and it was all focused on the rules and keeping the rules. And the whole focus on God was disappearing, and even more so, the whole focus on each other was disappearing. And then the Lord Jesus shows there that the Jews had it totally wrong. If there is anything that brought the Lord Jesus into conflict with the Jews, well, there were many things, but then the Sabbath day was one of the most important issues. We could go through the Gospels. We don't have time for it this afternoon, but I just mentioned a few texts. Luke 4, Luke 6, Luke 13, Luke 14, and a parallel text in Matthew and Mark. And also in John 5, there we can read about the Lord Jesus Christ being in conflict with the Pharisees and the scribes about the Sabbath day. And it shows there were many instances in which the Lord Jesus was teaching the people that the Sabbath day was something different than the Pharisees and the scribes were teaching them. The Pharisees, they completely missed the meaning of the Sabbath day. The Lord Jesus made it clear that the Sabbath day was a day to rejoice, a day of salvation. Sabbath is there for man to recreate, to renew. It was not that man was there for the Sabbath to wear himself out so that he could keep the Sabbath day. No, it was the other way around. And on that day especially, we must and we may do whatever is necessary to do well to others, as the Lord Jesus taught us. The Lord healed several people on the Sabbath day, showing that the salvation had come. Was it necessary to do on the Sabbath? Even the leader of synagogue asked that question. Is it necessary to do on the Sabbath? Come back tomorrow, he said, and then you can be healed. But that was necessary. The Lord Jesus taught us it was necessary because it was part of his work of salvation. And the day of the Lord is to remember our salvation. In the Reformed tradition, therefore, we often speak about the works of necessity which are allowed on a Sunday. But it is not only about the necessity. It is especially about works of compassion, of caring for each other. The Sabbath, or now the Sunday, is a day on which God's people celebrate God's care and God's love for his people. The Lord Jesus showed that by healing many diseased on the Sabbath days. And those people then could enjoy on the Sabbath day, delivered from their diseases. Christ came to deliver from the slavery to sin. He did not come to make slaves, but to deliver slaves. And therefore let celebration and joy determine our Sundays. Keep everything away that can take away the joy or can diminish the celebration. No strict rules, but a wholehearted desire to be with the Lord and his people. The fourth commandment then also contains a promise that God will care. You don't need to work that day because God will care. And if you're faithful in not working that day and keeping a day for the Lord, then God will care. Jeremiah 17 also speaks so beautifully about it. If you don't work on Sabbath day, if you don't carry loads inside or outside of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then you will see how I will bless you. You will receive an abundance, the Lord says there. And therefore, keep the day of rest, because the Lord cares. The Lord blesses you. And in the Old Testament, we also had the example of the Sabbath year, once every 7 years. The land had to be given rest. Israel, especially during that year, had to remember that God would care for them and provide them with food, even though they didn't work on the land. And then they were told, and then we are being told in the Bible, that this is what God did in the past. He is the God who created the heavens and the earth. He is the God who delivered them out of Egypt. He is and remains the same God also now, brothers and sisters, who will also care for us in the future. God's people had a hard time keeping this commandment. It was difficult for them to trust. And they went into exile for 70 years. And it says that they went into exile for 70 years so that the land would get rest to make up for all the years that they had not kept the commandment regarding the Sabbath years. The prophets had been sent to admonish, but they didn't listen. And Amos 8 verse 5, where Amos admonishes those who say, hear this. In Amos 8 verse 5, there Amos admonishes saying, hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat? Well, there it shows they kept the Sabbath day. Nothing wrong with that. They did not work on the Sabbath day, but they did not enjoy the Sabbath day because they were waiting, eagerly waiting for the end of the Sabbath day so they could go back to work again and earn money. And that was their attitude, and that was not pleasing to the Lord because the Lord wanted the Sabbath day for him and his people. The people completely focused on him and not focused on their work or money. Hebrews 4 therefore says that it did not enter the land of Canaan, but it did, well, Israel did enter the land of Canaan, but it did not bring them the eternal rest. They were constantly disobedient. And then God had to punish them and take away from them the rest which he had promised. And that shows that a far greater salvation is necessary than the salvation out of Egypt. God wants to bring his people into the eternal rest, but it is not sufficient for God to deliver them out of Egypt. God has to bring a much greater salvation than that to achieve his goal, to bless his people with eternal rest. And the whole Old Testament then shows us this longing for this rest, for this eternal rest to come. In the Old Testament, it was out of reach because of the sinfulness of the people. And then the prophets in the Old Testament speak about the new heart that God will give to his people. Jeremiah 31, God will write his commandments in our hearts and in our minds. God will remove the heart of stone and replace it with a heart filled with love for God and for our neighbor. And through the Spirit we will enter the rest which our Lord Jesus Christ obtained for us. And therefore, now, as God's people, we will remember the rest on the day of rest. That is a Sunday, the first day of the week, the day of the Lord. Keep it holy. Remember the great work of deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is why we come together in the worship services. That is what Lord 38 says. First, that the ministry of the gospel in the schools be maintained. It's all focused on the continuation of the preaching of the word. That has to continue. The congregation needs the word of God. The congregation needs to be instructed in the word of God. They need to come together on the day of rest, diligently attend the church of God, to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, and also in response to that, to call publicly upon the Lord and to give Christian offerings for the poor. And that's important on the day of rest, the word of God and the response of the congregation. Nothing should take away from that. Nothing should diminish that. And we should enjoy the whole day off, having time to remember. To remember God's great deeds and express and experience his love for us without having to worry about all the things that we still have to do that can wait for Monday and the rest of the week. We don't need to worry about it. We don't need to think about it because God will take care. That's the Sunday. That's the day of rest. God cares. God will take care of our business on the day of rest. You don't need to. That brings us in the second place by looking forward to the eternal rest. The Lord gives us a day of rest by looking forward to the eternal rest. We experience love of our covenant God. God promised the complete fulfillment of all his promises. The Bible is full of promises. And we see in the New Testament how God made a beginning with the fulfillment of those promises in our Lord Jesus Christ. He who came to suffer and to die for us, to pay for our sins. But there are many promises which are not fulfilled yet about the eternal Sabbath rest, as we read in Hebrews 4. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. God was faithful to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We can read it in the Old Testament in Genesis. This God remained faithful to them and fulfilled his promises later in the exodus of Israel out of Egypt. This God remains the same. And he will also fulfill his promises which he gives to us in the Bible. We remember God's love for his people so that we will experience through that God's endless love for us, his people in the present. We also are God's people, just like Israel in the Old Testament. And in his love, he will prepare for us a heavenly dwelling, the New Jerusalem. And it is especially on that day of rest that we may remember this and look forward to that great day when God will wipe all the tears from our eyes and when God will make all things new and there will be eternal joy. But not only on the day of rest we will remember. The day of rest and the beautiful message of salvation which we receive on that day, it will also change our lives so that all the days of our lives we will rest from our evil works, as the Catechism says, and let the Lord work in us through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Begin the eternal Sabbath. What is it all about in your lives, brothers and sisters? What do we live for? What do we work for? We are not slaves of our work. We are not slaves of our money. Slaves of our desires for money or wealth. But we live in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Children who know that they are co-heirs, fellow heirs with Christ, and will inherit this entire creation. It's all ours. And even if we see unbelievers work in this creation, we know they do it for us because we will inherit this creation. Why should we work hard, work ourselves to death? Well, God will give it to his beloved. Be faithful in your task. Glorify God by doing your work. Don't do your work to make yourself a god or to make your money a god. But glorify God by doing your work faithfully. And then trust in the Lord that he will care. And so begin the eternal Sabbath in this life. We may live eternally with Christ and with God in eternal joy and glory. And the beginning of it we may have now on this earth. The beginning of the eternal Sabbath. Brothers and sisters, are we then really children of God? Or do we still live filled with worries and live in slavery to our work or school or other things in our society that put us under pressure, expectations of others which we want to fulfill? Well, if we really live as children of God, then we don't worry about so many things about which the people in this world worry. And there's no need for anxiety, no need to worry about the day of tomorrow, as our Lord Jesus Christ teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. Then we know that we are pilgrims on our journey to the heavenly Canaan. Then we know that this earth on which we live is a desert in which God cares, just like he did for his people Israel in the desert. But this is not where our future lies. We are on our way through the desert, and our journey is to a better world. God will make all things new. And in this desert, God cares for us. Yes, he gives us the heavenly bread like he gave the manna in the desert. Lord Jesus refers to that in John 6. And therefore, because we are on our way through the desert, we are not going to build our palaces in this world, in this desert. Just like Israel lived in tents in the desert. And it shows that keeping the fourth commandment is not just about one day of the week, but our entire life. Trust in God every day of your lives. Just like the Israelites in the days of Amos, I quoted Amos before, there they did not trust in the Lord. They were waiting for the Sabbath to end so that they could go back to work. In the same way, there can be Christians who don't work on Sundays, but who don't really love the Sundays. It's all a show of keeping the Sunday, while in their heart they are busy with the work and talking about the work. For the rest of the week, they are only focused on getting more and more and more, getting rich rather than finding rest in God. Keeping the Sabbath day, it is about our heart, brothers and sisters. It is therefore for a very good reason that the Heidelberg Catechism in Lord's Day 38 about beginning the eternal Sabbath in our life speaks about the eternal Sabbath in our life every day of our lives. We have to begin the eternal Sabbath in this life. It's about our heart. It's about the rest which we find in God every day again. Trust in God. We do not live in fear in a society that more and more turns away from God. In fear for what this world can do to the church. In fear for what this world can do to our schools. In fear for whatever can come to our life here on this earth. We do not need to live in fear because God cares. Trust in God. And we do not desperately try to defend our old Christian bulwarks or protect our Christian rights or stand up for God's commandments. No, there is no reason to be desperate. There is the full confidence that God will care for us. And when he brings persecution, then it is for the benefit of the church and the spreading of the gospel, as we see in so many countries. But if he brings freedom, then also that is for the benefit of the church and the spreading of the gospel. We live in the freedom of the children of God. And even persecution and threat of the world cannot take that away from us. We enjoy the rest which God gives to us. We begin the eternal Sabbath already in this life. Yes, and that may mean from time to time that we are rejected and scorned by this world. Well, so be it. And if that means that we can still live in this world without being rejected, then give thanks to God for that. But we find real happiness in God, not in earthly things, not in earthly possessions. Whatever suffering and sorrow will come over us in this life, it will not take away the joy which we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. We will enter the eternal rest, the heavenly Canaan, and we will inherit this entire creation. Why would we give up our blessed relationship with God our Father if we know that he will give us all things? Why would we let work or homework or even worldly entertainment take away from the joy that a day brings? There are 6 days in a week to be busy with that. But also then, do not let it take away your joy. But especially on the first day of the week, don't even pay attention to it, because you don't need to. But then also, why would we let the thousands of rules like those of the Pharisees take away the real meaning and joy of the Sabbath day, on the day of rest? It's a day of rest, not a day to fulfill dozens and dozens of rules. Keeping the Sabbath day, that is about joy in Christ. Joy through the Spirit and thankfulness to God for his wonderful work of salvation and a desire to dedicate our entire life to him. Keeping the Sabbath day, that is something that will also influence all the other days of our lives. Do we look forward every week again to a day of rest on which we can come together with God's congregation to meet the Lord? Christ the Lord is risen on the first day of the week. United with him by baptism in his death, we will also be raised with him to a new life. The first day, the day of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, is also the day of our resurrection, a day to remember, a day to celebrate.